From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us right now, Sage Rosenfels, 12-year NFL veteran quarterback. We've had him on before. Love hearing from him. Sage, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for having me on this morning.
So we were just talking about the offense of the Seattle Seahawks and how bad it's been early on, especially yesterday against the 49ers, and it's clear that it's offensive line issues. And we were wondering, how do you fix that in season? Is it possible to fix an offensive line at this point in week two with the struggles that they have?
So other than quarterback, offensive line is the most challenging position on the football field. And in particular, it's challenging to coach. You have to take five men who are really big guys and have them all work in unison and go against four or five other guys on the other side of the line who are better athletes than them. This is one of those things that can take years and years to develop. So this is not something that you can just fix overnight. This is something that you fix through drafting, through free agency. This is something that's fixed in the off season, not during the season.
So, Sage, at what point do you say, the hell with this? I got to deal with self-preservation here because these guys don't seem like they're going to ever get on the same page as far as blocking for me, and you just start running out of the pocket to protect yourself.
Well, that's right. And you know, the when you're a quarterback like Russell Wilson, who really is a pocket passer, and that's what people don't realize, he is a pocket passer that can make things happen outside the mm-hmm. pocket. Aaron Rodgers has been doing this style of football for a couple years where there's maybe not necessarily anything inside the pocket. They don't run the ball very well. So he'll go back if no one's open on that first read. He'll basically try to buy time and create and get out of the pocket and try to make something happen down the field to his receivers. They do have good receivers. They've got a good tight end. They've got good backs. But right now, just running a traditional style offense in Seattle just is not going to happen because it all starts with that offensive line that everyone's been talking about for really a couple years now. Since they won the Super Bowl, that line has gotten worse and worse and worse. And luckily, they have a quarterback who can create. Imagine Seattle with, say, a Sam Bradford, who's just truly a pocket passer that can't do almost anything outside the pocket. They'd be in real trouble at that point. And the team that everyone expected to win the NFC West right now, you know, they're winning football games, but they don't look like a very good football team.
Kirk Cousins is a guy that has not looked like himself in the first couple of weeks. Now, they won yesterday, and they were able to at least salvage that. But this is a guy that almost threw for 5,000 yards last year, could do whatever he wanted offensively, and has not looked like himself. What have you seen from him early on this year?
Well, Kirk Cousins is a guy who is an executor. He is tremendous at executing an offense that's very detailed, very precise, that everyone knows exactly where they're going, that the reads are very precise. He's as good as there is in the NFL. He's not a playmaker like a Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, but he's an executor. Well, they just lost their offensive coordinator in Sean McVay over to the LA Rams as their head coach. It is an adjustment for any quarterback, no matter how good they are, to go from one coordinator to the next, even if they keep the exact same offense. You're going to see that. You saw that in Atlanta a couple of years ago when they went from one coordinator to Kyle Shanahan. His first year was okay. Second year was tremendous. So I believe that the issues with Kirk Cousins not being as good as he was in years past is because of the offensive coordinator.
On the flip side of that game yesterday, Washington, L.A., Jared Goff, everyone singing his praises after week one win versus the lowly Colts. What have you seen in his progression? He did have a late interception in the ball game yesterday.
Well, he's still a young quarterback. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we talk about these guys year one to year two, and he's definitely gotten better. I think anyone that's watched the Rams games over the course of these first couple weeks and watched the ones last year, there is a huge difference in Jared Goff's play. He's a much better player. You can tell that Sean McVay's scheme fits him much better. He's more comfortable out there. He's more accurate with the way he throws the football. But he's still a young guy. He's still a 23-year-old, you know, second-year player with, you know, maybe a dozen or so starts underneath his belt. So he's going to make a lot of mistakes. Young quarterbacks always do. Shoot, veteran quarterbacks make mistakes. You know, Kirk Cousins occasionally makes a really, really big mistake, and he's in about year six right now. So he's still a young quarterback. But you can definitely tell that from year one to year two, and old offensive coordinator to now Sean McVay as the head coach and offensive coordinator, this has been a huge improvement in his play. And I think that the Rams now have figured out they do have legitimate starting quarterback. I don't think they knew that through 16 games last year.
Gio and Jones with former NFL quarterback Sage Rosenfels on CBS Sports Radio. So yesterday, before the Vikings and the Steelers kicked off, they're talking about Case Keenum, who gets thrust into action. It was a game-time decision for Sam Bradford. And then the age-old cliches of, well, the backup prepares like the starter, like he's going to start because you never know, and you always hear this. You were in a lot of those situations as a backup quarterback in the NFL. I actually think you should have had more of an opportunity to start. But how realistic is that stuff? Is it just lip service to hear that, well, I prepared to be the starter? I mean, come on. Not everybody does that every week, right?
Well, every quarterback is different. And for whatever reason, I was pretty good about coming off the bench with no reps in practice, you know, just running some scout team, and then actually running the offense fairly well. The other type of backup who plays is what happened this week with Bradford. Bradford did not practice all week, so Case Keenum got an opportunity to run the offense the entire week. He had the entire game plan, so he was well-prepared for that football game. He didn't play very well. I don't know if Sam Bradford plays in that football game against the Steelers, if it makes a difference. The Steelers football team is probably a top-five team in the NFL. Vikings are probably somewhere in the middle. So, you know, Case Keenum played fine yesterday. Didn't play great, didn't play terrible. I don't think it had a huge impact on the football game. It does help usually to get those reps during practice, you know, throughout the week. You know, Sam Bradford was injured all week, obviously, so Case Keenum got those reps. Very different than when starting quarterback who takes all the reps throughout the week gets hurt in, say, the first quarter. Now the backup has to come in with taking none of those reps. That's usually a bigger challenge for backup quarterbacks than the opportunity to go through practice and you know, throw all the passes and make all the changes and make all the checks and all those things. And I thought he played pretty well yesterday.
Jacoby Brissett is the new quarterback there for Indianapolis Colts. Got his first start after the trade with New England. And he played better than Tolzien. He still, you know, had a pick in that ball game. They end up losing to the Cardinals. But Tolzien, a guy who's been there, why do you think it hasn't been able, or he hasn't been able to catch on with what they're trying to accomplish there? I know he's been sitting behind Andrew Luck, but you're the guy now. Luck has been out for a while, and yet he can't get a handle on this offense. Brissett can come in less than 2 weeks, and he can play better than the guy who's been there.
Well, some quarterbacks are just better than others. That's
true.
Number two, that Indianapolis Colts team is just not a very good football team at all. They're one of the worst teams in the NFL. This very much reminds me of when Peyton Manning hurt his neck, did not play. I believe that Colts team won two, maybe three football games. Peyton Manning ends up leaving after the season. They get Andrew Luck first pick in the draft. That was a really bad football team. Without Andrew Luck, this is probably a 3 or 4 win football team. With Andrew Luck, they're probably around 500. So they're just not a very good football team. Brissett is a better quarterback than Tolzien. I think that's pretty obvious. He's got a stronger arm. He's more athletic. But at the end of the day, no matter who's under center for the Indianapolis Colts, that's a bad football team, and they don't have much of a chance of winning football games. And it's amazing for a quarterback. Brissett, it's amazing how well he plays with the limited amount of reps. Whether you go back to New England last year when he had his first start, played fairly well as a rookie, or you show up a couple weeks and then play, you know, for the most part fairly well. Obviously, he threw a big interception, but it's hard to come in there. That's why they have OTAs and training camp and all that off-season stuff. For anybody, it's mostly for the quarterbacks to really run the offense, get on the same page, go through the reads, you know, get comfortable with everything, all the audibles, all the checks. You can do almost none of that when you've only been there for 2 weeks.
Gio and Jones and Sage Rosenfels across the country on CBS Sports Radio probably disagree with me, but I think Carson Palmer is close to finished, and I know losing David Johnson changes that entire offense, but there's especially in week one, just looked brutal, took a big step back that offense last year. What are some of the signs from someone who's played the position at the highest level that you look for when you're saying, all right, this guy is really towards the end of his career?
Well, Carson was never he was never a guy that, you know, created outside the pocket. He was a pocket passer, extremely accurate pocket passer for years and years and years. And I noticed at the end of my career, as my arm went from, you know, a pretty strong arm, and it seemed like every year just dropped about 5% in strength, that I had to try to throw the ball harder, which created some accuracy problems for myself. You know, anyone that's trying to throw a baseball as hard as they can, they're not going to be as accurate. But when I was younger, I could just groove it. Ball came out nice out of my arm, and accuracy was there. So as I watched Carson Palmer over the last couple years, I can tell his arm's not what it used to be, which is causing him to probably throw the ball a little bit harder, which is causing some accuracy issues. And on top of that, Larry Fitzgerald is not 25 anymore. They lost their running back, David Johnson, last week. So this, again, this football team just isn't what isn't it what it used to be, and Carson Palmer's not what he used to be either.
Well, Sage, Carolina, Cam Newton may not be what he used to be. That defense, they certainly are. They shut down Shady McCoy and the Buffalo Bills. When you look at Cam Newton coming off the shoulder injury, I don't know if you've ever experienced that injury or an injury in that area. What do you expect from him this season? Do you see him eventually rounding into shape and getting back to that Super Bowl or the MVP season quarterback, Super Bowl season quarterback?
You know, I don't know what will get him back to that level of football. You know, the issue with Cam Newton has never been his athleticism. It's never been his arm strength. It's really never been his accuracy as a quarterback. He's an extremely accurate quarterback. I mean, he's one of the best natural throwers. I'd say him and Aaron Rodgers and maybe Russell Wilson are some of the best natural throwers in the NFL. Tom Brady's extremely accurate. But Cam Newton's biggest issues for the last couple of years since that Super Bowl run couple of years ago has been about timing. And that was my biggest issue with having really no off season for him, not a ton of training camp, and then boom, right into the season without having that off season work. That's where you really work on the timing with your receivers. That's where you work on your progressions with your reads, with your footwork, going from one to two to three. And that's been his biggest issue, coming back, taking two or three hitches, trying to throw a ball that should be thrown on the first hitch. He's late. Which creates him, which makes him less accurate, but also allows the defense to react and step in front. And he's got a huge arm, which is always made up for his bad footwork. But at some point, you have to have good footwork, you have to have good timing, and that's always been my concern with Cam Newton, in particular the last couple of years. He gets away without having that great footwork just because he's, you know, so unbelievably gifted, and he can do so many things. He can hurt a defense obviously with his legs and the other things that he does, but. That's always been my major concern with him. It has been his footwork.
Damn fundamentals always getting in the way, man.
Yeah, but football is, you know, it's a little different than, say, basketball or some of these other sports. I mean, everything works together. So a quarterback's fundamentals are as important as the right tackle's fundamentals, as important as the linebacker's fundamentals. So it's a team thing, and everyone's got timing, and everyone has trying to work together in this sort of machine. And when one person, no matter how talented that the cog is in that machine, they have to work and groove with all the other players, and that's based off of those precise fundamentals.
Sage, thanks for the time this morning. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show, How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.